The presentation of the Lord that we celebrate today is one of those feasts where it's really important to know the historical context if we are to understand the full significance of what we celebrate today. And so my homily today is maybe going to be more of a scripture study of the passage and giving some background with some of, like, hopefully what we can take home then from this celebration that we have. And so to understand this context, we have to begin to understand it. We have to go back all the way to the building of the temple by King Solomon in 957 BC, so a long time ago. Now, the temple itself in Jerusalem took 20 years to build by King Solomon. And it was much more than a place to pray and worship God. It was, in fact, the very dwelling place of God. And this, in a sense, can maybe be kind of tough for us to grasp because for us, thankfully, every church we have is God's dwelling house because of the Eucharist. That we can go to any Catholic church and go to the tabernacle and speak directly to God in the Eucharist. And yet before the Eucharist, and for the Jewish people that we're reading about, if you wanted to have this same contact with God, this direct contact, there is literally only one place on earth where you could do this, and that was in the temple. That is where God sent his Spirit and lived, in the temple of Jerusalem. So if we were to kind of place this in today's world, and make it kind of so here, if you wanted to speak to God, you couldn't drive 5 minutes to St. Joseph Parish in Grafton, but you have to fly all the way to Jerusalem to do so. And so in that context, this really makes the temple not just a building among others, but the building in the Jewish people's minds. For it was the very house of God. You want to see God? You have to go to his house. And as we know, it's the significance of a building is only worth as much as the person who lives there. Home, after all, is not a building, but where the heart is. And the Jewish people found this out the hard way when they began to fall into idolatry in those years of when the temple was built. They began to worship other false gods in addition to the true God of Israel. And it reached a point that they began to even bring in statues of these false gods into the temple. Which, if we think about it, if this is God's house, they are bringing these guests, these false gods, into his very home. And so we hear in the year 586 BC, so about 400 years after the temple was built, we hear in the book of Ezekiel that God eventually has had enough. He says, you know what? You keep bringing in these idols into my very house. You must not really want me here. And so I'm packing up and I'm heading out. And we hear in Ezekiel that God's presence leaves the temple. Now this is devastating to the Jewish people because now there's literally no place that they can go to and encounter the presence of God. There's no place on the entire earth where they can go and encounter God face to face. And this is the case, as we will hear about, for over 500 years. God's presence is no longer in the temple. God is away from home. What kind of came to mind as I was thinking about how can we kind of understand this today is to imagine if there's no Eucharist for 500 years. And then to kind of make it even more personal, the reason there's no Eucharist is because we, in a sense, drove God out of our churches. And so we would be waiting for God to come home, but also kind of sitting in this guilt, knowing that he had left because we had replaced him with other false idols. And I also thought it made me think of then during the COVID years, that in a small way we probably experienced what those Jewish people were experiencing for 500 years, when for about a year we couldn't go to Mass, and how hard that was. I remember the very first public Mass that was celebrated. I was blessed to be able to distribute communion as a deacon at the time. And as people were coming up to receive communion after a year's worth of not, they were just crying because of how happy they were to receive the Lord in the Eucharist. And that was after just 1 year. Imagine the Jewish people after 500 years of waiting to be able to encounter the Lord face to face. And so we can maybe understand that anxious waiting for God to come home that those Jewish people had. Until finally, after 500 years, this young family of Mary and Joseph walk through those temple doors and present to the priest Simeon this newborn child of Jesus, who is God, which causes Simeon to cry out in these joyful words of celebration, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, light for revelation to the Gentiles, glory for your people Israel." Words that we could summarize as Simeon saying, "God, welcome home." God is home again. His presence has returned to the temple. And that really is what the presentation is. There's much more to it, but one of the things it is, that the presentation of the Lord is a homecoming. It is a celebration of God returning home after 500 years. And so no longer is the world, no longer is the temple devoid of God's presence. No longer are the Jewish people wondering where God is in the world, but they can point to the temple, and more importantly, we can now point to Christ and say, God is here. This is why this feast is actually very important for us to remember, just as we remember anniversaries of special events, so we remember today the anniversary of God coming home. But it's also a reminder to us to not make the same mistake as our ancestors did in the past and from our Jewish brothers and sisters, and to remember why God left in the first place, because we had turned his home into a home of idols. In a sense that this is no longer your home, God, and you're not welcome here. And so on this anniversary of God coming back home, we must learn from our brothers and sisters of the past. For really, at every Mass that we go to, we truly experience the presentation of the Lord, his homecoming to each of us, through receiving him in the Eucharist, where he is presented to our heart and looks to make his home there. And we must be attentive to not fill the home of our hearts with various idols. Because as God shows us through this interaction with the temple, he does not tolerate roommates. If he enters in and sees that we have filled our home with other or lesser things, with no room for him, his response will be, and rightfully so, "Well, I guess they don't really want me here, and so I will look elsewhere for a home." And so today, as we celebrate this joyous anniversary of the Lord's homecoming, may we also take heed, as we become the temples of the Holy Spirit, to do all we can, to make sure we do all we can, to make sure that our heart is at all times not a home to idols, which causes our Lord to leave, but a home open and ready for the very presence of God.